This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, the color blue. So I heard about you not so long ago. I got to be honest, I don't go out anymore, so I don't see gigs. So I'm not really in the scene. I don't know a damn thing. But I do like the attitude. Someone explained to me what you guys do and kind of where you come from and what your music's all about. And it appealed to me. So I thought we've got to get you in here and meet you guys. And you're sort of the anti-industry people because you're sick of taking shit from, you know, people who think they control the industry. They don't really allow the audiences to decide. It's become harder and harder to be a band, to perform, because there are so many things in the way that even if you've got great music, you can't always break through. Venues, management, you know, radio used to be a way to get airplay, you could get people to pay attention to you. That doesn't happen anymore because nobody listens to radio. So what's going on? Tell me how the color blue solves these problems. Who's going to start? Let me introduce everybody quickly. Put your hand up when I say your name, then at least I know who I'm talking to. So who's Leon?
I'm Leon.
Hey, it's Leon. How's it, man?
Yeah, how are you doing, babe?
All right, good. Leon, you are the vocalist and guitar dude.
Yes.
All right. Armando?
That's me, yours truly.
All right, Armando. And you are in charge of drums.
Yeah, that's my area.
All right.
Apart from many other things, of
Marius,
course.
You're in charge of bass.
Yes.
Good man. That's the most boring part of the band.
And
right
sarcasm.
There.
He makes up with sarcasm.
All right.
Of sarcasm.
And Timothy, you're in lead guitar.
That's me.
All right. So who writes the music?
We write together.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't
in the beginning.
Tough to do?
No. In the beginning, it you know, when we got together, you know, I had a couple of songs. We were all in different bands at that specific time, and we decided to get together, and I wrote a couple of songs that we did with the guys.
Yeah.
But then as we progressed and we sort of formed our own little niche.
You find
niche
your, you find
yeah,
your
that's,
thing.
That's
yeah.
Completely different to what's popular, I guess. You know, we formed our own little sound, and we write together, and, you know, it's the new album that we're doing now, it's all stuff that we've written together, you know, and Marius will bring a little riff in, you know, and we'll bang it out, and, you know, there we go.
So, I mean, how does it start? So you say Marius will bring a riff. So does it start with it? That's very
it
unconventional
depends.
For it to start with bass.
It depends. Look,
right. He's a good bassist.
He's a very good bassist.
Everybody in the music business knows cool. The bassist gets the least amount of pussy. That's how it works.
Oh, he does, eh?
Yeah, but
it's also self-help groups.
You know, hasn't it? Because
no,
just,
has
just,
it?
No, dude, I just want to point out here, like, out yeah. of everybody in the band, I get the most.
Oh!
Just saying. Just
saying. Right. No. Respect is due.
He does have a beard.
Yeah.
Do you think the beard helps?
I think it's the
yeah,
beard.
Yeah, I see the beard. I'm just actually doing for acceptance. I want to be part
You've
of
all got designer
movement.
Facial hair, actually.
Timmy's actually been growing for the last 16 years.
Yeah,
so.
Shame. Timothy, you takes you a long time to grow a beard.
It's like maturity indicator, just yeah. so people don't think I'm 12. Or
I feel for you, dude.
We have had that.
The
first time I actually saw him play was 10, by the way.
What?
Yeah. The first time I saw him play on stage.
You're following a 10-year-old around for, you pervert.
you know what? You just can't ignore a 10-year-old with a big guitar, hey?
They don't show us the pictures, man. Yeah.
You're going straight to jail.
Literally, so the guy was standing in a pub playing.
At 10 years old?
10 years yeah. old, he was.
Were you like a child slave to your parents? Did they send you out to bring money home?
Don't feel comfortable discussing that.
Wow, you must be pretty talented on that.
There was consent.
When did you start playing?
I started when I was 10, and by the end of my first year of playing, I was already playing pub gigs and...
Wow, dude.
On stage and stuff.
And then you get to see how terrible adults really are at
yeah,
a young
childhood
age.
Childhood
right?
cut short.
Like, yeah, but you immediately like realize, like, okay, these guys, I've been told all the time that adults know stuff. They don't. Look at them getting drunk. And
especially when you get to be an adult, you think they got life figured out, and you get there, like, fuck, everyone's yeah. just wandering through this completely oblivious.
That's the point, right? And it gives you peace early on.
Yeah.
You realize, like, I don't have much to learn here. If I could play this guitar and I can have some fun. Life is lived.
I can get through it. Yeah.
But then the truth is about all of you, you're from the East Rand. I mean, that's a tough neighborhood.
Passports in the morning to come to Santa.
Yeah. How did you even get through the gates?
That's why we were here 6:15.
We try to lock
you
guys up.
The guards aren't there yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Border's still closed.
Strategy.
I want to listen to some music here. You tell me about these songs, because I don't think people necessarily have... Not everybody's heard your stuff. You probably do... gigs all over the place. I don't go out much. Let's expose people to this, all right? Here's some of your music. All right, let's go out to this. Tell me what's going on here.
This is a song called Damn Bad Monday. And funny enough, this is a collaboration song. The riff was actually written in 1979.
Really?
Yeah. There was Springs has got like a big legacy of bands. You know, the Radio Rats came from Springs and Hox Norton and bands like that. And one of my mentors was a guy called Dave Allen.
Oh, I've heard the name Dave Allen. Yeah.
Now, Dave Allen passed away a couple of years ago in a bike accident. But he was one of my mentors, you know, in the early days. And he said, man, I wrote this riff in 1979, and, you know, and I said to him, geez, it's so cool. Can I use the riff? And we evolved, you know, the song got written from that. So
let's listen to this. Nobody's writing rock music like this anymore.
Because everybody wants to be part of a gang.
Everybody wants to be part of?
Some gang or something that everybody wants to be accepted. And it's like, it's...
But this is cool.
Yeah, no, it's...
So why... What's happened with rock music? Do you think that it died when Kurt Cobain died?
No, I think it died when people started thinking they all have feelings.
Or selling ukuleles.
It died a slow death. Yeah. Mm. With the introduction of... millennials and veganism.
She is completely traumatized by this. Yeah, what's the problem with millennials and veganism? Tell me about that.
We'll let them.
No, go on. I want to hear your theory.
Okay.
No, really thinking about that.
Let me scan my brain.
No, because I can tell you what you're doing is you're trying not to say the most offensive thing that pops your head. Don't do that. You're allowed.
I'm scanning my brain. It's weird thinking that. Back in the day, kids younger than myself fought wars. Now they need a safe space because words hurt. Big comparison.
That's profound, man. I have to honestly say that's profound.
No, it is. That's a very profound thing, and it's profound. The truth. I mean, you know, you have someone crying on the internet that they've got the worst life ever, and they don't realize that their grandfather probably could have been killed by the Nazis on a beach at the age of 18.
Yeah.
They got Wi-Fi.
I agree with you.
I mean...
Yeah. Oh, my Wi-Fi signal just cut out. Worst day ever.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
My battery's not charged.
So do you think rock music's more authentic then because it's about the stuff that really matters, or it's got a tone to it that is less kind of pathetic?
I think rock music has always been honest. It's always been the honest genre. You know, that's why I got into rock music. I think that's why all of us got into rock music. Yeah. It was like infectious. The first time you heard it, you thought, oh, well, this is real. You know, and I think what's happened is it's been commercialized a lot. And I think that's also killed it. There's a lot of good bands out there doing, you know, straight up rock and roll. But I just feel that it's a bit generic, eh?
How do the audiences feel about it? Because the audiences have changed. I mean, I like all kinds of music. I'll be honest with you. I like a little bit of rap. I like a little bit of hip-hop. I like some rock. I like all kinds of things. And I think that if you're a real music fan, you will appreciate all kinds of music. Yeah. The only people who care about what genre it is are the people who used to file CDs in the musicas when they existed. Nobody
cares
anymore.
There's still a musica in Springs.
There is?
Yeah, it opened up.
Still buy, and do you sell cassettes there? That would be funny. It's like in a time warp. When you do these gigs, how do the audiences react? Do they love you guys?
You know what the thing is? I think there's a very loyal following that goes out to shows. It's not huge. I mean, I've been playing since my first gig I played when I was 15. And so since like 98, I've been playing shows. And it's definitely changed. And there's a core of people who go out and watch bands. And but it's definitely dwindled. There's less people going out on a Friday or Saturday night to go and look at the local band. You know.
But everybody will tell you how much they love live music.
Yeah, but they don't go out and show it. You know. So these bands are working their asses off. You know, traveling. I mean, for us, a round trip is like 150 km if we go to Joburg to play. You know, and that's where you play. So you come out, it costs you $800 or something, you know, in fuel and expenses
so
going
out. It's actually almost not worth it.
And there's 30 people in the venue that's come out to watch 8 bands play.
So how do we fix this? Because otherwise, you know, it's bad news for rock music.
You know, I think it's a sign of the times that we're living, that people don't want to go out. They're scared to go out at night. I don't know, you know. But the people that do go out, they're very loyal. They go out, especially, you know, if I want to say one thing is we've been exposed to the metal scene a lot as a rock band over the last year. And I have to say, the metal scene is a very loyal scene, hey?
And that's big?
It's big. You know, we got some great, you know, world-class metal bands in this country that's not being played, you know, but they've got a very loyal following. Yeah, and I must really say these guys support each other.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with the rock scene, we're lacking a bit of that, you know.
Well, I mean, there used to be a very strong kind of rock contingent in South Africa, and commercially it was very viable for a long time.
Yeah.
Gareth, adding something out from our side, you know, you can obviously gather, I'm the youngest in the band.
Yes, by a long way, by about 75 years.
Yeah, Tim and I. You know.
Yeah. And I'm often quite... Benjamin Button's disease.
He could be Tim's dad.
And
Tim wouldn't know.
We've actually had that before, you
That's
know.
Probably why Tim's in the band. Like nepotism or something.
Here's the truth about why you were sent out to earn money at 10. This is your real dad. This is a very Oprah moment. I gotta tell you, your real father is in the room. All right, go ahead. Tell us what you want to say.
Look at Walter White, yeah.
But it's something we often...
Armando, you were going to make a point.
Yeah, it's often something we speak about and we have a chat, you know, and being a little bit older, I've witnessed the scene in the years gone by and I witness the scene now. And there's a question that we actually ask ourselves, is this support going out to the clubs and watching bands a South African thing in terms of it lacking? Or is this also experience elsewhere in the world?
And what is
not that we have that experience out there.
No, but
there, right?
What's your finding? Because I've heard that it's not so great for rock bands, even in Europe and America.
Mm. Yeah, but if you, I'm also referring to not just rock bands, or you know, a lot of the venues we've been to, as Leon alluded to now in the metal scene, is not just rock music. So we've been to events where it's not just about rock music. But I do find the South African nightlife, club life, rather suppressed, though. And we ask ourselves the question, is that got anything to do with the state of where we live? And,
maybe it has
and,
to do with the fact
the security.
But nobody has money.
Yeah.
How about money? I mean, because it's expensive to go out. You get drinks. You got to pay an entrance fee in these places. How does that work with the venues? I mean, how do they give you the entrance fee? Do you get paid a flat fee? How does it work?
No, we bring a bottle of Vaseline. We go in and we smile and we wave, and then they just come up and like, all right, who's first? And then usually Tim.
They bend you over, and then that's the end of it.
And we get shafted.
Where it starts.
How does it work?
I mean,
I think when we get to any venue, for instance, we probably rock up and then have a beer, because you're only allowed to have one beer.
Oh, they treat you like kids.
No, it's mainly the cops who wait outside.
Oh,
you know,
literally outside the venue. So let's not forget that.
Like that's also like it's affecting the thing, because it's so strict in a matter of people aren't being judged on like their capability. Like, I mean, drink one beer, fuck, you'll make it, dude. I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to change
the rest of the
universe.
That has like fuck, what, two bottles of whiskey or something? Like, he might be a problem. You never know.
Of course.
But I mean, that's also like suppressing the whole thing. But it's also when you get there, I mean, you basically pay for everything, and it's not that we complain or anything, because I mean, I'm not doing it for
but
money or anything.
This is bizarre to me, because venues want live music, and then when they get live music, they treat the bands like shit.
They want it
we
for
actually
free.
Got a
they
quote.
Want live music for free. That's
we got
the
a
thing.
We got a place that sent us a quote. Right?
You're joking.
No, I'm
yesterday actually.
Guess how much?
They wanted
us to play there.
But then you would have to pay them.
We have to pay them.
For the sound and for
everything.
The doorman.
Please do.
And do they give you guarantees like we'll get 2,000 people?
No,
they don't. No, but they do say you're only allowed to charge $40 at the door. That's max. And you have to stop at midnight.
And they have to be three bands.
Their quote came down to, I think it was 6K.
Jeez.
6K.
What a cheek.
Yeah. That's like a quarter of my salary, man.
But that's before you pay. Jeez, you earn a huge salary, bro.
No,
but that's literally before you pay the other three, because they want a minimum of three bands and you got to pay to play. So before you can pay anyone, you got to cover 6K with a $40 cover charge. I mean.
So you're telling me
that's
it's
a
not,
Benoni,
it's not even. This is what a cheek.
Right.
Benoni.
Being right
playing Benoni.
And most people there are lucky to have their eyes in the right place. Jesus. What a cheek. And this is a place that wants live music. They want to be able to share
Saturday night.
Really?
Saturday Night Drive.
But I'm horrified.
Yeah, it's but they're exploiting like the up and coming musicians, like the young guys that's really just starting a band.
And these guys, I mean, like, I've got to get out there. Maybe this is how it works.
Yeah, but what it also does is, I mean, it demoralizes the majority of the bands coming out because, I mean, you go out to this venue, you're not known. And I mean, the ideal situation for any young and up and coming band would be to play with someone bigger, somebody that's drawing crowds so that you can get some of their fans and expose your music that way. But I mean, you rock up as an up-and-coming band to a venue. You pay them like $1,500 just to be there, and I mean, nobody's there.
And they are meant to take them. They're meant to make their money off the bar. That's what the venue does, right? They make their money out of the bar. They're meant to, cover charge is meant to go straight to the band.
But you see, there's a beautiful concept that the guys have thought out, where you put in eight bands. There are four members in eight bands. Suddenly, you got 24 guys drinking. Yeah. Everyone brings a plus one.
Looks like
so you got
full.
48 people there, and then you bring friends and family, and suddenly you got 120 band people related to the bands all buying two beers, and you're selling drinks. So, I mean,
well, they make money.
It's a sweet turnover. Oh.
Well, then they're sons of bitches. Put that on the record. All right, so what we've learned so far, venue owners are mostly shitheads. Second of all, the you're really annoyed that you can only have one beer.
Yes.
Rock music is dying.
No.
Yes, that's what we've had to take.
Still doing it.
But that you guys want to keep doing what you're doing. You have a love for this.
Yeah,
it's what we are, man.
You know, honestly, I got to say that you know, you either got to be stupid or loyal, one of the two things. But I'll never stop doing this. I think all of us, we've invested so much of our life into writing. I'm a compulsive writer.
Yeah.
So I write tons and tons. I got paperbacks full of things I've written next to my bed, you know.
Right.
And music is like the vehicle to get that out, and I'll continue doing it until, you know, I fall over.
Well, you know,
over,
you mentioned stupid or loyal, but you know, you can be both.
Yeah, stupid and loyal.
One in the same.
And determined. Look, you know, like we say, there's a lot of guys exploiting, but there's a couple of guys also helping. So, but it's the exception. There's one or two venues who really support.
Give them a shout out. Tell me who they are. Who are the venues you love playing at?
Yeah, we like playing with old Fred at Rumors. You know, he helps us out a lot, and I think he runs a professional show. You know,
right.
Professional ship.
All right,
good staging, good lighting.
Fred, you fall outside of that shithole comment. All right, who else?
It gets
wow, it's not like a boarding list.
basically, it's just Fred.
You know, in the last, and you know, we've gigged, hey? In the last year and a half, we've played a lot of bloody shows. You know,
can you give me a number?
Over 75. Eh?
That's so a lot for a year.
That's more than
every weekend.
It's a lot of shows.
I mean, look, a lot of people would say that's terrific. Mm. There's demand.
We got paid at 4 or 5.
Oh. You know,
so, okay. Doesn't seem so terrific,
you know, now suddenly I'm feeling sorry for you guys again. If I were a millennial, I'd be tweeting right now, # shame, not blessed.
Not blessed.
# lifestyle.
You know what the problem is? For us, we can handle that because we sort of knew that, you know, going into the whole scene again and being part of it for such a long time. I mean, Armando has been in many bands through many years.
Well, he's been here 1,000 years.
Yeah, he has.
Very
you know,
old
when
man.
Noah came out of the Ark, you know, he literally never
it's the first guitar
he was the first
player.
He was
drummer,
created
drummer,
on the fourth
first
day.
First percussionist.
Yeah.
But it has definitely, I feel for the kids coming out and, you know, you got these 17 and 16-year-olds and they start a band and they're disillusioned and they go out and the parents have to pay and, you know, it just becomes an expensive
shocking.
Hobby.
It's exploitation. That's what it is.
Yeah, but not only that. I mean, like, with the mainstream and where the music's going, like, a lot of the people write the same kind of music. And everybody wants to be different. And I wish people could see me do this. Because
it's the inverted commas he's doing.
Yes. I'm Afrikaans, so I didn't know the English word for it. But everybody's writing the same kind of music to try and fit into the same space.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, the thing with rock and roll is it doesn't matter. There's no right. There's no wrong. It doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what that person think. It's what
and
feels
there's some,
right.
There's something about a great guitar riff and some power drums that just makes everything better.
I mean, the appeal of old Timothy, like I said, when I spoke to him when he was 12.
Yeah, again, you're not doing yourself any favor
12,
with this conversation.
And I said to him, dude, you have to be 18 before we can be
Springs,
in a band
right?
together, you know?
In Springs, it's illegal to start bagging your cousin at 12. Right?
So he followed me since I was 12.
He
was dedicated.
You didn't notice that yellow button bullsaw coming down the street.
I don't want your candy.
Heart palpitations.
Die oomwil vir jou story vertel.
But you know what's a funny, you know what's a funny story, though, eh? You know what's a funny story?
Child rape.
It's about Tim. We get to the poison. There's a rally called the Poison Rally, which is like a huge
rally.
The Poison Rally. Because Jesus, we play rally.
Some rough bastards.
But I'm telling you.
What is the Poison Rally?
It's a big rally that's held in Kroonstadt.
It's like a festival?
Yeah, they get like 10,000 bikers or something, you know. And it's awesome. It's great staging, professional production. Awesome, you know. But so we go through and we play the Poison. Now we're like nervous about playing the Poison because there's a lot of bikers. So this could go wrong or could go well, you know.
I got too drunk.
People could die.
Yeah. But now, like, Tim is there, and Tim's like, no, this is his fourth Poison, you know, he's already done four. So
Jesus, you are rough.
He's like the veteran, you know.
Did his first one at 11.
All right, do we want to listen to Colors or Sweet Nothings?
Yeah, we can listen to Sweet Nothings. Which
because
is
I got a place
rock,
for one more. All right, so this is straight up rock, some Sweet Nothings. Let's put this on here. Gents, thank you so much for coming to visit us this morning. I certainly hope you start making some more money.
Yeah,
But keep the music going, and who knows? You know, you might be the breakthrough band that bring it back to life. People need to hear good music, good original stuff. There's always going to be a place for it, even if you feel underappreciated at the moment.
We're in a safe space, eh?
No,
Our parents have been teaching us this. Like, since
and please stop with the pedophile jokes. It's not funny.
We're going to sell little Tim dolls.
Right. I see you brought all the equipment, but we're not going to be able to set up now, right? So,
Nah.
And I'm not paying you for this gig.
Nah.
We're used to that as
well. Just checking that out. Okay, so you don't mind at all. All right, this is the band. It's called The Color Blue. You could check them out. Is your music available online?
Yeah, the stuff that you're playing now is all from the album, which is called The Canvas. We're releasing it now. It's out at, we're just waiting for it to go live at you know, on iTunes and Play Store. So within the next week or two, it'll be live, and then you can download and buy it and maybe give us some money. You know, stream it on Deezer. You know,
fantastic. All right, big welcome today to the Color Blue, and I hope that you'll support them. Get out there. They seem like good guys. The Color Blue, BLEW, and you can find it online, as already told. Your social media stuff?
Everywhere, hey?
All right, good.
All over fish.
And remember, color without the U.
Yeah.
Oh, C-O-L-O-R, like the Americans do it?
Yeah, we need it to do it that way.
That was an error on your part.
It's because of Carolyn.
We just want to be dumb and arrogant.
Carolyn's your manager, right?
Yeah, she's American.
Okay. Yeah, well, color.
The color.
It's okay, Carolyn. Don't worry. Don't be embarrassed.
They named it before I was on the scene, by the way.
Oh, okay. So they're blaming you for nothing.
Damn it.
In anticipation for Carolyn to join.
This is CliffCentral.com.